We open our Bibles together to God's Word in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Beginning to read God's Word in Matthew 6 at verse 19. The middle part of what is our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, or Sermon on the Kingdom. Our text will be verse 34, and the title of our sermon tonight will be Today's Mercies for Today's Troubles. Beginning to read at verse 19 of Matthew 6, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God bless his word unto our hearts. We read our text in verse 34, Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Are you thankful to God for his blessings upon you now, today? Many of us remember the late Reverend Cornelius Hankel, and I can remember when Reverend Hankel, already then a retired minister and aged, would visit in Linden, Washington when my family was young and would stay by us when he preached in Linden. I remember many of the things that he would say, and one that stuck with me was that he commented once at the table that he was afraid that when he came to heaven, he would be so ashamed over how little thanks he had given to God. If we are to live in thankfulness to God day by day for all of his blessings, then our hearts must be free from worry and from anxiety. The scriptures are very plain. And as Reformed believers, we confess with all of our hearts that the purpose of our salvation is that we might be a people to his praise and to his honor, or the purpose of our thanksgiving is, of our salvation is, that we might be filled with thanksgiving. This people, says the prophet, have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. The whole purpose of our salvation is thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul in his epistles is constantly reminding us of the great mercies that we have received from God, the forgiveness of sins, everlasting faithfulness, a covenant sure and faithful in all things, a truth that is eternal, all the blessings that he has given to us freely of his grace, of our salvation, the blessings of the church, the blessings of family and home. And then the scripture reminds us of all the blessings that he gives to us in life, of food and drink and clothing in great abundance. And then the scripture even reminds us that when he sends adversity and trial, sickness and death, that these things too serve our salvation. The scriptures are constantly saying that in everything and always, we must and we should give God praise and thanksgiving. Do we? If we are to give thanks to God, we must be freed from anxiety. And this is what our Lord is speaking of so beautifully and so powerfully in the passage we read. Beginning in verse 19, our Savior is speaking in a very practical way of our relationship to the earthly things, as he so often did in his ministry. And he teaches us that it is our relationship to the earthly things, and especially the attachments that we form to those earthly things, that become the cause of our spiritual problems and woes. That when our heart becomes tied to the earthly things as that which is going to satisfy us, that then we will not live a life of thankfulness to God. We will either, he says, beginning at verse 19 through verse 25, we will either hoard the earthly things. We will begin to love the earthly things. We will become greedy. We will become materialistic. And if we are greedy and materialistic, then we will not give thanks to God. A greedy person is not a thankful person. They cannot be a thankful person. The Lord says, when our treasure is below, then we cannot give thanks to God. We will not. But then in verse 25 and following, our Savior says, but there's another problem we can have, not simply of materialism, but the problem can be of anxiety. We begin to worry over the earthly things. We begin to say, am I going to have enough? Am I going to make it? Will I have the possessions in the homes that I want? And then spiritually, we have anxiety over so many things, our children and tomorrow and all kinds of things. And the Lord says, in the way of anxiety, when we give thought, when we are troubled with anxiety, then we shall not be able to give thanks. If you have a trumpet, silver trumpet, and you're able to make the clearest note, but if we take that trumpet and stuff it with clay, it will not be able to give a clear sound. If we take honey, good honey, and pour it all over the keys of the organ or piano and inside, it will not be able to play. If our hearts are filled with worry and anxiety, we will not give thanks to God. May God perform surgery in his word tonight upon our clogged arteries. May he open the spiritual arteries of our hearts that they may beat strong. May he remove the plaque of worry that we might give to him thanksgiving. As I said, our text, verse 34, we'll look at under the theme, Today's Mercies for Today's Troubles. Today's Mercies for Today's Troubles. We'll follow the typical three divisions. First of all, we'll see that the Lord is talking about anxiety for tomorrow. Point one, anxiety for tomorrow. Point two, the Lord is saying that we must be content with grace for today. And then point three, we must give thanks right now. So anxiety for tomorrow, grace for today, thanks right now. Our Lord is warning us, as I said, that if we fall into the grips of worry over the earthly and material things, we will not give God praise and thanks. Four times, he uses the words, take no thought. In our text, take no thought, and then in verse 25, take no thought, and other times in the passage, verse 31, take no thought, and those words, take no thought, as you might well know, mean literally, do not be seized by worry or anxiety. And our Lord in the passage indicates that he understands that by nature, as his children, you and I, as his children in Christ, are prone to be anxious over everything. We are anxious about ourselves, our adequacies and inadequacies. We're anxious about the economy. We're anxious about our jobs and whether there's going to be enough work. We can become anxious over our beloved Christian schools. We can become anxious over our looks, what we look like as a young person, about getting married or not getting married. We can become anxious over our children, over their physical problems, over their mental problems, over their spiritual life. We can become anxious over our burdens, over our possessions, over tomorrow. If we would write a list tonight of all the things that we are prone to worry over, that list would go right down the aisle and out the door. And then at the end of the list, we would write down, and sometimes we are worried that we are worried so much. The Savior is teaching us that not only does this worry cloak or choke peace, that's the passage in Philippians chapter 4, when the Scriptures say, take no thought, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will rule in your hearts. But the Savior is saying it will choke thanksgiving. And then we will sit at the table, and we will think to ourselves, you know, I ought to be thankful. Maybe the wife will elbow you and say, where are you, dear? The family's home, all the children, the grandchildren. Aren't you thankful? And we realize that anxiety and troubles keep us from expressing thanks. And the Lord says to us that we must therefore battle that anxiety. And the main point, I believe, he comes to is verse 33 in our fight against anxiety. He says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, instead of anxiety, instead of worry, instead of fear over all of these things, you must live your life as my child under the kingship of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingship and the kingdom of God must be real to you by faith. You must believe that every moment you are in the hand of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he will grant you all of his need, all of your needs. Now our Savior in this passage, as I said, is giving us reasons. He's battling, giving us ammunition to battle our anxiety. Our text is the final or concluding reason, but he gives reasons out in front of it that would be important just to look at, if only briefly, because I do not know which one is crafted for your need today. In verse 25, he brings his first argument. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He says, consider what your life really is. Your life is in Christ. It is much more than earthly things, than what you eat and what you drink and what you wear. We worry about losing the pleasures of this present life. We become anxious if we don't think we have the admiring glances of other people for our nice clothes. We want to have a long, healthy, earthly life. Jesus says, don't lose sight of what life is. Life is not physical pleasures. Life is not glamorous clothes. Life is not a long, healthy existence, but life is God and His approval and walking with God. Remember what your life is. Brings another argument in verse 26. He says, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He says to us, what do you see when the birds come to your feeder? Certainly do not learn a lesson in laziness. The birds are very energetic, very watchful. God feeds them, but the birds are not like squirrels. They do not hoard. The birds do not take things for tomorrow because they believe that God will be dead. But they believe that when the sun comes up tomorrow, God will be God, and God will feed them. Aren't we much better than the birds of the air? Will not our Heavenly Father care for us? And then in verse 31, he brings another argument. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And there the argument is this, that when we are ruled and governed by anxiety and worry, then the difference that he has made between the world and the church is not seen. We are then living on the level of the world. Anxiety over the future. Anxiety over tomorrow and what they're going to have. This is exactly what characterizes the world in which we live. They don't know God. They don't believe in a sovereign hand of God ruling over everything for the good of His people in church. They don't know that. They're afraid. Oh, they're afraid. But you know. You are not like them. You know that your Father will supply your needs. And then in our text, he comes to his last argument. He says, therefore, take no thought. Do not be anxious for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's the heart of it. And the heart of it is this, that our worry is always concerning tomorrow. What if? What's going to happen to me? How will I ever be able to do that? What about my child? Will he live? We are constantly projecting ourselves into the future, and this muzzles the joy of thanksgiving to God for the mercies that He has given to us today. Tomorrow's troubles blot out from our eyes today's mercies. And we can't see those mercies, and we don't thank Him. We bring tomorrow's troubles forward into today in the form of anxiety. And the present mercies and the present goodness of God that He's given to me today, the wonderful mercies today, are ignored. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. Believe that the God who has supplied mercies for today will be God tomorrow, and His mercies then will be new to you tomorrow. Thank Him today for today's mercies that are tailored for today's needs. That's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is to thank Him for the grace sufficient for now, for my needs today. The old Swedish hymn explains it. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly. It's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. God, in wise and loving measure, gives to each day in our lives our troubles. God does that. And He gives mercies each day sufficient for those troubles. Thank Him. Today's mercies are not designed for you to carry tomorrow's burdens. There will be mercies tomorrow suited for them. That's our Lord's teaching. We ask then with the psalmist of Psalm 116, how shall my soul give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee? How am I to be that thankful, praiseworthy Christian? And the answer of the Lord is, thank Him for today's mercies. The calling that we have today is not to arrange our strength and mercies for tomorrow. God will give them then, Israel, when they hoarded the manna, when they took manna for tomorrow, that manna rotted. We are to thank Him and be dependent upon Him today for grace sufficient for the burdens and the struggles today. And I cannot, as His servant, express this too strongly to you and to me. I cannot express this too strongly for children, for teenagers, for college students, for parents, for women, for middle-aged couples, for older people. We all want assurance today for tomorrow. At the end of the day, we say our gauge is on empty, and we fall into bed. After a day of struggles and trials, we fall into bed, and what do we say? What do you say? Do you say, and what about tomorrow? The Lord says, no. You must say, thanks, Lord, for grace sufficient for today. Grace for today. You want the secret of thanksgiving to God? You want to say, Lord, open my heart to thank Thee? I'm so dull, I'm so anxious, I'm so weighed down in my soul and spirit. Then we must pray, Lord, give me to see those mercies that are surrounding me today, right now. His tender mercies right now. Do we get this? If we pass over today, if we pass over this moment, if we do not take to heart the words of Lamentations, new mercies, fresh mercies, mercies given in the morning for that day, and if we begin to peer into tomorrow, we become desperate about tomorrow, and then we will either be seized with anxiety or we will begin to develop the strategy of telling ourselves that we are sufficient for whatever comes tomorrow. Bring tomorrow's troubles on me. I can handle it. Either way, whether we become filled with anxiety or puff ourselves up as being sufficient for tomorrow, either way, there will not be thanks today. There will be silence. There will not be a whimper of praise. We will sit at the table. Food, family, and forgiveness from heaven. And the kids will say, Dad has that faraway look again. Dad's thinking, how can I? What about tomorrow? Or saying, what will happen to me? Our Lord says that the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord doesn't mean to say to us there's no use worrying because it's not going to change anything. The morrow will take thought for itself. The Lord's not talking about fate. He doesn't think that somehow tomorrow, that through fate, tomorrow takes care of itself. He's not saying that. Nor does he mean to say to us that we must not make preparations for tomorrow's needs. The farmer will have nothing in his silo if he does not plant in the spring and if he does not work. And young people, that's a word. That's a word of Jesus. And that word of Jesus to us is about preparation, is that everything in his kingdom that is worth doing, everything in his kingdom worth doing requires foresight, planning, dedication, and preparation. You must prepare yourself for the work of the Lord. The Lord said, which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost? The Lord is not saying we don't make preparations, but he means this. He means simply and very profoundly to say to us, we may not bring the troubles, the fears of performing our calling tomorrow into today. He is saying each day has enough trouble of its own. That day has a sufficient amount of trouble. He means to say that your heavenly Father, your sovereign Father, who is wise and loving beyond all measure, he gives unto you each day exactly what he deems best. He measures out to you your troubles, and he measures out to you sufficient grace. God does that. That's either true, what I said, what I preached, or God is a liar, and God is no liar. God determines in your life the limit of the troubles of that day. You will not experience troubles beyond the limit that he has sovereignly set, and God determines for you the amount of sufficient grace for every day. But he does not give mercies today for bearing tomorrow's burdens. Tomorrow's burdens are something that the Lord does not want you to carry today. Today he promises, you will find me faithful. I promise you grace sufficient for the day, every hour, every moment. So that when we go to bed and we fall into bed tired, let the last word on our lips before he gives us sleep, let the last thought be, thanks, Lord. Thanks. We read in the book of Lamentations, thy compassions fail not. The Lord's mercies are new each morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Again, the Scottish hymn that I referred to, every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. Now, why does the Lord do it that way? Why doesn't he just give us the whole thing at once? He does it that way, day by day, because He wills that we live each day in dependence upon Him. He does it that way because He requires that moment by moment we thank Him for carrying us through each day. We must grasp this. We must lay hold of this by faith. We must live this. How many times do we not come to the end of our resources and we say, that's it. That's it. I'm done. And then we roll on top of us the stone of tomorrow. And then we say, it's hopeless. It's impossible. I can't. But the Lord does not call you to carry tomorrow's troubles with today's strength. What you need today is not tomorrow's grace, for you will receive it fresh in the morning for the needs of tomorrow. You need today's grace. And God says, I will give it. Indeed, beloved, who in all the history of God's people, who in the history of the whole church, and who here as a child of God tonight, who can ever say to God, that grace failed me. That grace was not sufficient for me today. Who can say that? No one can say that. God is faithful. Give thanks to the Lord. In 1931, a missionary named John Vincent was working in China when bandits swooped down and looted and burned the village in which he was working as a missionary and took him and many other Chinese Christians captives. The government troops pursued after these bandits and surrounded the bandits, and the guerrillas wanted to give Vincent to the government troops for their ransom. And they said to him, we will let you go if you will ask these government troops to withdraw. And he said to them, will you let the Chinese Christian captives, will you let the Chinese go free? And they said to him, no. And he said to them, I will not do what you want. That night, the guerrillas attempted to escape with Vincent, and a Chinese girl reported that she saw one of those guerrillas pointing a gun at Vincent's head, saying, I'm going to kill you. Are you afraid? And his response is reported as, no, for if you kill me, I will go to heaven. God does not give you grace tonight to confess Jesus with a gun pointed at your head. If it comes to that, He will. But He gives to you tonight grace sufficient to bear the burden and to confess His name in the midst of the burden and circumstances of your life tonight. And tomorrow, He will give you grace for the needs of tomorrow. We are to thank Him right now for the wonder of mercy sufficient for today. I have been emphasizing to the children in catechism in our church of grades 4 through 7 and older, but I have made it a point to emphasize to them recently that true faith is always now. It is not something planned. That's not true faith. True faith doesn't say, when I'm 25, I will. That's not true faith. When I'm 40, for sure, I will. That's not true faith. True faith is now, right now. It's courage from God to do the right now. Thanksgiving is also now. We do not say, well, when we get to this point, we'll give thanks. We won't. Thanksgiving is something now, right now. The angels are spurring us on. They see that we are surrounded by marvelous loving faithfulness and tender mercies. They see the tender hands of God holding us moment by moment through every trial. They see the wonderful grace of God. They urge us to sing, now thank we all our God. Let his mercies that he gives to you today, sufficient for today's troubles, let it bring forth from your lips right now thanksgiving. Are you afraid? Are you alone? Listen to his promise. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. Do you say, but I am too weak? Listen to what he says. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Do you say, but I'm facing far too much. I can't handle this. Listen to what he says. If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you say, but I do not know the way that I should take? Listen, he says, I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way that you shall go. I will counsel you with my own eye. Do you say, I'm getting old. There are tribulations, and there is death facing me. Listen to what he says. He will save to the uttermost those who by grace have come to him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. So that the only response that we have to such a wonderful Savior, a sovereign God who moment by moment holds us in his hand and supplies unto us exactly the measure of grace, exactly the measure of grace that we need moment by moment, the only response is, thanks, Lord. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. God make it so in our hearts. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for him, our Savior Jesus Christ, who wrote the Bible by his Spirit. And for him who walked upon this earth as a man and who is touched with all of our infirmities and who knows that we are prone to worry over the things of this life, we pray that we may come apart and hear his word, in which he promises that he shall ever give us grace for today, grace sufficient for the burden, for the trial, for the struggle that we have right now, that we, as the day closes, may say to him, thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.